We try to work on those items down there on the belly of that calf there and try to raise the value of those things. A lot of times we're trying to pick stuff out of trim and find some value there and make those items more valuable. Variety meat. How many of you have eaten liver in the last month? Oh, man. When are you guys going to learn? Yeah, I got two guys out of this whole crowd of, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred people. I got two guys. 1% is eating liver. We're not going to eat it. We never will. We gave that up. Our grandparents, they ate it, and these two guys. But we're not going to eat that stuff. Foreign consumers will eat all of it. We're even able to sell them the feet. Sometimes we can sell it, the feet with the skin on it. Have to take the hair off. But they will consume it, which is good. We're raising value. You saw the drop credit go up this year? That's because values of that stuff got more valuable in the foreign markets. Rarely do we see a lot of, probably less than 1% of the variety meats stay in this country because we just don't consume them. A lot of them that do stay here are eaten by a lot of the ethnic groups that are here in the United States today. We also try to be innovative in products. That netted product you see up there, just a low-value item that we've stuck a bone in, put that net around it, told them that was short rib. They buy it left and right. So we've got to find new products. We are going to have a shortage on some of these products, particularly as we see like markets like Japan start opening up to beef. Let's talk a little bit about limitations. Just briefly about where we're at on some of our access. I think you all know that the Korean Free Trade Agreement was signed. President Lee of Korea signed it yesterday. That will be moving forward. What will happen, basically, the big financial advantage to us is that we currently have a 40% tariff or tax on all of our beef that goes in. Over the next 14 years, that goes to zero. So every year, that duty will go down 2.7%, which, theoretically, prices should go up 2.7%, because that is a tax the importer has to pay. He now has more financial freedom to buy more at a higher price. So in 5 years, we could see a 25% improvement in prices. Again, all theory. But that's why those programs work. So that will be exciting to watch. You probably will see Korean cars here in the United States become somewhat cheaper because they won't have as much of American duty on them. That will decrease. So Kias and Hyundais will probably become less expensive. So if you have kids headed to college, that's maybe something to consider. Japan's really confusing right now. They just had an election. They have a new prime minister. The prime minister is wanting to open up the beef market. They just had a terrible tragedy. They've got a mess in their country. Their food is contaminated with radioactive material. Some of their dairy cattle, not too many of their beef cattle, but a lot of their milk and things like that are just a mess. That poor country's agriculture is just seems like they get devastated all the time. And as I said earlier, they are a net importer, and they're going to keep importing. So the inevitable is happening. They will raise the 20 to 30 at some point. Some of you are in source verified programs and are wondering, do I put my calves in? Well, of course. That ain't going to happen for a while yet. We need those cattle. Those cattle, if you source verify this fall, they're going to be slaughtered in the summer, and there won't be an agreement by then is our best guess. We are working right now to keep that thing commercially going because we think the source verification is a very good thing. I personally believe it is a way for us to diversify our product even more. If we can say that our animals are under 20 months commercially, that just gives more competition a harder time to compete with us. They can barely compete with us on a fed basis with fed beef. They probably can't compete with us very well on the young cattle thing. China, wow. China's a tough one. Huge market, 1.3 billion people. They love beef. They got a lot of money. We use their money a lot to run our country. There's a good chance that it'll be maybe a couple more years, but when we do open up, it will be a good one. The hang-up is our government won't allow their cooked poultry to come into our country, imported in. And they said, okay, your beef can't come in. The countries will do that. And they just got to get together. Now, they both belong to a big organization called the World Trade Organization, and you're not supposed to fight with one another, but it happens. The United States is fighting with, a good example is the United States is fighting with Mexico and Canada over this country of origin labeling thing. So that's what happens with countries when they do that. So hopefully, we're going to see some expansion in the next few years. You saw our numbers earlier, and why we think those things are going to grow is for those couple of access things that we think will be happening soon. For you all, I've got a list up here about, four or five things I think you need to be aware of. We've got to stay proactive on our animal disease control. How many of you think there's a risk of us getting a foreign animal disease like foot and mouth disease? Man, that scares me. That scares me to death when you all put your hands up like that. We got to buckle down. If that's the truth, we got to buckle down and make sure that doesn't happen. Because it would be chaos. Unless, in all due respect to people from Florida, but if it would happen on the tip of Florida, we probably could control it. Because we can isolate that area. But if it happens here, oh, good Lord. It's a mess. We got to, so you all really work on your biosecurity, your controls. I know hunting and things like that are big incomes for you. Know who those guys are. Make sure they haven't been tromping around some safari in Africa and brought home a bunch of manure on those hunting boots. You know, simple things like that are the risk. I say all that, but honestly, it's got to be a perfect storm for us to get that. Korea got it from a producer. He went over to China and was looking at some hogs, didn't change his boots, brought it home to his own herd. That can happen. For your neighbor that raises llamas and he goes on safaris all the time, boy, it could happen, but there's a lot of things. You know, he'd have to step in the manure. He'd have to have, you know, make sure he didn't brought home the same boots and didn't clean them and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. There'd be a lot of things. And then he's got to come on your place and, you know, get up next to your animal and all that kind of stuff. So just be aware that I think biosecurity is something that we've got to really continue to maintain and work hard on those things. Residues and growth promotants. Where is Dr. Choke? Wow. I used to have 4-inch hair. And I've lost all my hair due to this one. This has become a big issue with foreign markets. They like to put zero tolerance that you can find zero in the food. And that's ridiculous. They don't look at what their consuming public and the risk mitigations that are there and, you know, how close the risk really is or how big the risk is. And they give us fits on this thing all the time. And I will commend those pharmaceutical companies. They are working hard to get products approved over there and get them to understand that they are safe. And it would be beneficial for their businesses or their production in those countries to use that. But, boy, right now they're really giving us fits. The Europeans don't help us a lot either. Although Travis did tell us that maybe they're loosening up. They have a rule they call a precautionary rule, which means you can't put anything in which there has to be zero risk of hurting a human. Well, holy cow, how come they got cars? You know, they're two-faced in the way they look at things. So that makes things a little bit difficult. It's all politically driven. They're trying to drive a political and probably an economic policy that doesn't work for everybody. Surprisingly, foodborne illness and the five freedoms of, I use that as a coin term, and animal welfare are not real big deals in international markets, except for Europe. We spend a lot of time on both those things. Foreign markets don't look at those too much. They look at those things as something that they should have been there anyhow, and we expect you to do it. So, the activists don't look at it that way. Actually, the U.S. activists have a hard time getting a grip in a lot of the foreign markets because they just don't care. They have other things they're worried about. So luckily, we don't have to deal with those things. So I think those are some positive things for us. The changing food supply. We heard earlier a lot about brands and things like that. And again, I commend you all for all of this work. This is a lot of hard work relative to how we feed the animal, how we use that in combination with genetics, and how we use that in combination with the technology. It's got to tell a story. They're very intrigued. Foreign consumers are very intrigued with you all. They love cowboy hats. They love the horses. They love your lifestyle.